Hey, good afternoon, everybody, or evening, morning. I think we have all time zones represented here. Barry from Showbiz Blueprint, and this is an internal masterclass, our first one. I'm excited. We're going to be hopefully doing a lot of these, put a survey up in the group, and people said, yeah, let's do them. And the first one, you know, why not start with someone who's, you know, playing big and been an active member of our community. Julian, how you doing today, man?
I'm really good, thanks, Barry. Good to be. This is a fairly quick turnaround on an idea that we just discussed probably about 5 days ago.
Right. It's a speed of implementation, man. It's just like, you know, we could work on it to be perfect, or we can just put it out there and see if people want to do it and jump in. And you had such a good, compelling topic. It's a wow. Renee's up. You're in Germany. It's got to be
2 a.m.
2 a.m., man. Guy wants to be here. See? That's cool, man. I'm glad you're here. All right. Well, good. Julian's going to talk about paid speaking. And, you know, the format of these is going to be pretty loose. There's five of us here. A lot of this is going to be done for the replay, you know, for people to catch on replay. But Julian's been hanging out in the speaker world. And for 6 months, he went to New York to train with some big people and in Australia and trained with a big guy. And he said, hey, I can talk about this. And, you know, it's something that we all have the capacity to do. So let me just hand it over to Julian. You know, kick into your thing, man. You want to share a screen? You want to talk? You want to do some Q&A with the four of us? That'd be great.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to share screen. So am I good to go now, Barry?
Yeah, you're totally fine, man. Take it home.
Okay, right. You should have a screen share.
Looks great.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So look, I'll just give you a little bit of backstory to this. This is really about a commercial approach to getting into the speaking world. And I've been wrestling with this for years to want to get into it. And I've been basically laboring under a lot of wrong information and the wrong mindset about this. And over the last 6 months, I've actually invested quite a bit of time and quite a bit of money into making sure I go down the right path for this. And when I've done this, I've realized that there's some advantages that everyone in Showbiz Blueprint has got. And that was 5 days ago. I just said to Barry, look, why don't, you know, I come on and talk about this. So really out there when I've been looking for this paid speaking market is that, you know, you've got to have something to say. And you've got to find a market that needs a speaker. They don't need to hear what you've got to say. You've got to find a market that needs a speaker. And in this, there are these two advantages that I found that Showbiz Blueprint members have got. And that's, we're going to reveal those. And I'm going to do that by sharing basically five big mistakes that I've been making. And I reckon if I've been making these mistakes, then other people are probably making these mistakes as well. And then I'm going to share two strategies that I've learned basically just in the last couple of weeks. And I like this idea of the road because this is the path I was going down probably up until about 2 months ago. And it was taking me to somewhere I really didn't want to go. Hey, there's someone there with a kick. Can you mute your mics, guys? There's a lot of banging.
I'll get them, no problem. And then if you guys want to talk, just unmute yourselves. It'll be easier that way. Let me mute.
So what I'll probably do is we go through this presentation.
Hold on one second, Julian. You're going to get muted, and then I'll unmute you. There you go. Now you're alive.
Good. All right. So I'll go through this presentation and it'll make sense and probably hold your questions to the end because I'm probably going to answer some of the questions as I go through. And this is fairly big picture thinking. And it's also, this is specifically information I've got that relates to an Australian market, but I reckon about 80% of it will work in any market that you're in. And I'll try to highlight the differences as we go through. So the first thing is that you've got to do is you've got to find out where you fit and really what are you willing to give up to do this? Because I was holding a lot onto a lot of personal values and they were foundational to where I wanted to take my speaking, and I've actually found out that that's one of the mistakes. So you've really got to focus in on what people out there are actually buying. And this is so similar to the message that Barry's been giving you for years and years and years. it really ties in well. So this is my first mistake, is I've been a crusader. And by that, I mean I've been out there trying to change the world. And I thought, but God, I've been doing this for decades in my own way. And for the last probably 18 months, I've been lost in what I call my fertile void. I've had so many pieces on the table that I've been trying to work out what is my direction. And I've been specifically trying to work with the over 50s market and showing them that there's opportunity out there in the world and helping over 50s deal with change. And that's all good and that's all worthy. And then I had my backstory. I was, if you don't know what I did for 25 years, I was a documentary cameraman, basically traveled around the world, you know, and amassed a lot of great stories and great experiences. And I was trying to leverage off these. But what I've learnt in the last couple of months is that if you're a crusader, you know what that equals? Being the best free speaker out there. It's not what sells. And this is particularly true in Australia. There are two markets out there for speaking. There's a professional market and there's a public market. Now, in Australia, that right-hand column, if you speak in that market, it's basically free speaking.
Wow.
That's what it is. Now, in America, it's bigger and you can make money in that market, but it's harder. Make no mistake, it is harder. You'll be doing a lot more free speaking. So in these last couple of years when I could have personal and effectiveness, transformation, mindset, stress, pressure, uniqueness, identity, I would have been speaking in those markets. But I tell you what, I'd be making no money. The left-hand column, those professional topics, that is where the money is, you know, is made. So you've got to focus in and you've got to deliver and craft a message that will sell into those markets. And I just want to make clear again that this is not a discussion about whether your topic you've got is going to change the world or it's not about the worthiness about it. This is a purely commercial approach to making money in speaking. So you might be able to take your purpose and make some money out of it, and you might be able to transcend everything I'm saying. I'm just giving you a strategy that I've learned and I'm going to follow over the next couple of years.
Awesome.
So my mistake number two is I thought that going into speaking into the corporate market, that I had to fix a problem that they had. So, you know, they weren't going to hire me unless I was an expert in relationships. They weren't going to book me to speak unless I could, transform something for them. And this was a big roadblock, a big psychological roadblock for me, because honestly, didn't think I was good enough to do that. Well, in fact, I'm not. I've never come from the corporate world. And this was a big problem I had as well, because I don't have this corporate background. What I have learnt, and this is from people who are out there working at the top of their game, you are there to entertain first. And then if you can be impactful, right, that comes second. But number one, they are going to book you to entertain, which is really coming from an entertaining background from the last, you know, half decade. I thought, no, I had to leave that aside and I had to go into this professional mindset to work in this professional domain. And it's simply not the case. And this is the Showbiz Blueprint advantage number one. You guys already know how to entertain. I've just been down at a course last week. It cost me $4,000 for the two-day course. And I was sitting there with people who want to get into the professional speaking market. Most of these people were experts in their field. I had PhDs in computer science. There were people who were relationship experts. And before I went in, I felt intimidated being in the room with these people because I thought they had such an advantage over me to get into professional speaking because they were experts. By the end of that 2 days, they were coming up to me and going, my God, if only I were sitting where you are sitting now, to have that ability to stand up and work a crowd and entertain them and know how an audience reacts and not be scared of that. It is a huge advantage. And it was honestly, I mean, you know, in the last couple of weeks, I've only come to realize this, and I've been laboring under the wrong impression for years on this. So that's why I wanted to share this with you. That, I mean, that alone just changed your thinking on this. You are so well positioned to go into the professional speaking market. These experts out there, they're not your competition. Your own thoughts are. Your mindset is what you're battling on. And if you can just get over that now, if you're thinking about speaking, it can really point you in the right direction. The next mistake I made is that, you know, I'm 56 years old now, and I've got this, you know, wealth of experience behind me. And I, you know, for, you know, like all of you, I'm a fairly nuanced individual. You know, you don't, you're not going to get to know who I am just by listening to me now. I'm a bigger person, and I want people to know all the facets of my life. So when I was, for the last 18 months, in what I've called my fertile void, where I've had all these pieces on the table trying to work out which direction to go in, I've literally been paralyzed because I'm a complex person. And I think, well, how do I put all that into one package? What's the one topic that I need to speak under? And I've just been taught by these people out there who are doing this, you don't need to do that. And I'm going to answer the process that you go through to get to that stage. But the reality is, I mean, I love this picture of this gorilla, okay? Because it's not the lion. It's not this king of the jungle. Man, I'm just out there to entertain. I'm being booked in this professional speaking entertain at a conference for 45 minutes to 60 minutes. That's me. I mean, there's that, and so, I mean, I have to have something to say. That goes without that goes without saying. But really think about, all I'm up there is a two-dimensional cutout up there delivering some information. People can't assess who I am as a whole person, and they never will in that 45 to 60 minutes. So choose a topic, and it might not be the perfect topic you want to speak about, but just get out there and start speaking on that topic. It's good enough. So it's like having an album of songs. You say, you know, really, this album is who I am. Just choose one song and try to make that the hit single for, you know, a period of time, because you're going to make more albums. You're going to put more songs out there.
Love it. Julian, can I mention one thing that came up on the phone? Yeah. Give your voice a second, too, if you want to take a drink of water. We had a talk the other day, and it was so funny because you were telling me about this topic that you're speaking about now. And I said, does it feel right to you? Does it feel good? And you had this pause, and then you go, it's good enough. And that was just so key to me. Exactly. It's not your opus. This is not Julian Mather's opus.
Yeah, and it was really this mistake that I was laboring under, was that I had one shot at this. You know, this was the one shot. I was going to write a book, and it was going to be the one and only. And it's just not the way it works, and it's not the way the current technology and you know, information sharing and the internet allows you to do it so much differently. And so you don't have to be original. And this was another misconception that I was laboring under. I mean, I thought that, okay, well, I've got to have an idea. If I'm going to go out and talk about something, I've got to come up with something brand new, because I can't talk about what other people have spoken about. And it's simply not the case. And I was stuck in this imposter syndrome, that if I got up there and chose a topic to speak on, but, you know, that wasn't the thing that I had worked on for, you know, 30 years of my life and became an expert on, that I wasn't, I didn't have permission to speak on that. And it's not the case. I'm just going to get up there for an hour and deliver information in an entertaining and engaging way. And the information has to shift the thinking of the room, but I'm the messenger. I don't have to be the expert on this. I just have to be the one that can deliver it at a conference in an entertaining way. Because, you know, all those experts, they don't have to pay for those. They can get them in-house, and they can get them to get up there and give a boring slideshow presentation. What they're paying for you as a professional speaker is to be someone who can engage and entertain them at a conference. And you've got to remember, most people at the conference are there to get drunk. Most people at the conference are there because it's better than going to the office for the day. I just had this idea that I was out there, I was being changed to come in and be really impactful within a company. Now, you might, in the back end of that, you might get up there and speak and they might engage you to do follow-up work and maybe you will affect change within a company. But being booked to speak, completely different thing. And it was, again, a misapprehension I was laboring under. So how do you not be an imposter up there? You speak through your 10,000 hours. Mm. And you know that if you don't know the Anders Ericsson and his 10,000 hours rule that was popularized by
Malcolm Gladwell.
Malcolm Gladwell in his book, was it? I think it wasn't Blink. It was one of those.
It was Outliers.
Outliers, yeah. So, the idea is that if you do something for 10,000 hours, you basically go on autopilot and you become, you know it within your bones. And they gave the example that Beatles did their 10,000 hours, playing in clubs in Germany before they ever became big. Mozart did his 10,000 hours. The list goes on. We've all got 10,000 hours of what we're good at. So I'm going to go into all these different speaking markets that I know nothing. I'm going to go into corporations and speak on leadership and speak on, I can't even think of those other topics on the left-hand side right at the moment, but I'm going to speak of them through my 10,000 hours, and my 10,000 hours is change. I know intimately all about change, and the other one is discipline. And that's been a backbone of everything I've done. I mean, just briefly, I've been an army sniper. I've been a documentary cameraman. I've been a magician. I've been an online entrepreneur. I've done a whole lot. And those things are integral to everything I've done through my life, and I can speak about those. So when I get up there, that's my authority that I'm speaking on through. I'm just going to speak on a topic that is tailored to a particular audience. And that's what you do, is you take your 10,000 hours and you tailor a presentation, but you're always speaking through those 10,000 hours. So you're speaking with credibility, and I can speak with absolute credibility about change and discipline. Mm-hmm. And happy to stand up there at the end in a Q&A when someone asks about change, I'll just refer back to my own stories of change. So I'm speaking with confidence. So it doesn't matter which topic. But here's the thing. None of this you're going to speak about is rocket science. Remember, you're not there to change the, fix a problem within the company. But you have to know what your area, your topic that you're speaking on. You've got to know it with this level of PhD rigor. And so a PhD in the scientific community, and this is something that's worth just discussing briefly here. People who do PhDs don't come up with original ideas. Very, very rarely. When you do a PhD, you take an existing body of work and you either you add to it or you contradict it. Mm-hmm. And that's what, and it might be very, very small. You might be just shifting it very slightly, but you'll spend 3 to 4 years of your life and you'll put in 100,000 word, your PhD, whatever it's called, that goes in.
Dissertation, yeah.
Your dissertation. But that's the level of work you have to put in to do this. So you know your topic. You don't have to be an expert. You can curate the information, curate all the current thought out there, and then put your own spin on it. That's what you have to do. So what I'm saying is you can't get into professional speaking. Even though I said it's entertaining, you can't get up there and just be really lightweight. You have to know your stuff. But again, it's not rocket science. It's just putting the effort in. Mistake number 5 is that I thought that professional speakers were in a different category. I thought I was coming out of entertaining and I was the lightweight, and now I was going to move into this realm of these professional speakers who I thought were all there, who were experts in fixing problems in industries and had so much more knowledge. Well, earlier this year, I paid a considerable amount of money to travel from Australia to Philadelphia and spend time in a private workshop. It was an invite only. I was very lucky I got invited over. I'll just tell you a quick backstory so this makes sense. I got invited to go on Michael Port's Steal the Show podcast, which is a very well-respected podcast for public speakers. Michael and Amy Port are pretty much top of their game. The interview went really well, and I sent Michael an email just saying, hey, thanks for inviting me on. Love to do one of your courses one day. He emailed me back and said, you know, I've got a private invite-only course. It's for 10 people. It's for people who are currently in the industry earning $10,000 to $25,000. They're all taken up. But I tell you what, I'll open up a spot for you if you want to come. And I had to make a decision basically within a week whether I was going to pay a fairly hefty fee plus all the travel expenses to go from Australia to Philadelphia. And I said, yes, I'll go and do it. I spent this three-day private workshop. And that was, you know, on the tech, you know, on the stagecraft of speaking. And that was great. But what I did was I made connections. And I've been invited into a private Facebook group for professional speakers. It's an invite only, and so I'm in there and I'm sitting quiet. Believe me, I'm sitting quietly in the back in the corner
right
at the moment, and I'm just observing. But what struck me is it's exactly like Showbiz Blueprint. It's every fear and worry and concern. You could cross out speaking and just put in corporate entertaining. That it's exactly the same. And they're all worried about where the bookings are coming from. Just yesterday, there was a woman speaker, and she said, oh, I went to this event, and I got there, and these people treated me really badly. They treated me like a piece of rubbish. Has anyone else experienced this? So it's not just the entertainers. It's so similar. So there you're well-suited as well because you know what this is like. You know those people in the room in the course I went to last week who were the experts and the computer scientists and the relationship experts? They're in for a big shock. They're coming out of this academic world and going into a completely different world that they know nothing about. So... but you're so far, that's actually, instead of a mistake, I should have put that as another advantage. You're actually so far ahead.
That's awesome.
All right. So now what I'm going to do is going to give you a couple of strategies. That was all sort of, you know, going through those mistakes and the big picture thinking. These are the strategies that I've learned over the last week, essentially. And these, I just want to point out that, you know, there are many ways to make a pie. There are many recipes. And this is just one way. So as I'm going through, just hold those thoughts because I'm just giving you one model. There are so many variations on this. But this model has come from a speaker who's been doing it in Australia, the Australia Asia Pacific market for 25 years. He's pretty much the number one in that arena. He's been nominated as one of the top 10 motivational speakers in the world. He's very commercial, and he runs this whole business school around it. And this is just a strategy. He said, this works. If you want to follow this, this works. So I just thought I'd share it with you. And again, let me be very clear. As a professional speaker, I have earned $0 so far. I'm right at the beginning of my journey. But I sometimes think that's a good time to listen to someone because the questions I'm asking and the thoughts I had are probably the same, you know, questions and thoughts that you've had. Yeah. Right. This is what you're going to aim for. This is the big, this is the process. You're going to aim for a 1,000-day campaign to make this work. So roughly 3 years, which really fits into my way that I've done everything. I've always worked on roughly five-year plans. So the thing is that this is not a six-month plan. This is not a 12-month plan. This is a multi-year plan to get to this stage. You're going to want to aim to be an $8,500 speaker. Now, that's an Australian price. That's pretty much, with tax on top of that, that you're going to add, you're going to be a $10,000 speaker. That's pretty much, you're a serious top-of-the-game speaker in Australia. In the US, that's different. That's actually probably 15, and if you're really top of the tree, 25. That's the speaking ranges out there. So this is what you can aim for within 3 to 5 years if you really, you know, want to make this work for you. And again, you guys have got such an advantage to get to this faster than you think. The volume of talks you're going to look towards is to do 50 talks a year. So if you're working at that $10,000 level and do 50 talks a year, you're talking a fairly serious amount of money that you can make out of this. That's with a 60-minute talk. And over time, you're going to develop more 60-minute talks. But at the moment, all you need is a 60-minute keynote presentation that gets people sitting on the edge of their seat. They don't need the whole seat. They just need that front edge of it. That's all they need. And then this is probably the key thing, is that you're going to do this by targeting 150 people who are key influencers in those industries that you nominate, that you think you can speak in, with other speakers who are, you know, in who you can connect with, because speakers share gigs a lot. So it's all about targeting just 150 people, and you can you can make $500,000, you know, bucks a year doing this. It's quite possible. With the person who taught me, this is what he's achieving. But again, I just wanted to be very clear on this. You do need intellectual capital to do this. And again, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. God, I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm just a person with a lifetime of experience between me. But I'm willing to put the work in to come up with an idea that rocks the status quo. So you can't go in. If you go in and just talk about the same stuff that everyone else is talking about, you're probably not going to reach those numbers that I've spoken about. You need to come in and rock that. You need to have rock the status quo, come in with your own slant, your own idea that's a little bit different to the rest. Not hard to do, just takes the work to do it.
So, Julian, even though you're not an expert at this, you haven't written things, you haven't done the PhD, really you're saying in that slide, the audience at the end of it should be able to say, that guy is an expert. They should feel that you are.
Yeah, because I've done the work of curating the information.
Gotcha.
I've looked at who, what all, and I'm going to show you this soon, the process to actually do that. And it's not as hard as you think. Well, certainly when I looked at it, I said, wow, to me, that's achievable.
Okay.
And just make no mistake, again, you don't need to be original out there. And I was laboring under that. How can I get out there and speak? And, you know, and because the more research I did, the more I realized this has all been done. Yeah, you know, and it is 2017. You can't come up with a new idea. Very, very hard to do that.
Is it safe to say you don't need original ideas, but you do need an original presentation?
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. So again,
I want a distinction there. Great.
You've got to come at it from a different angle, and I'm going to clear that up a little bit now. So this really is the strategy that I'm going to take and was explained to me. You keynote this 60-minute talk that you're going to do equals a book that you're going to write. And these two are going to go hand in hand, and they're going to travel along this path side by side over the next 3 to 5 years with you. Now, the best example of this is Seth Godin. If you look at Seth Godin's work, and this is just a couple of his books, he's got maybe 20 titles now out there. This book, Lynchpin, was the one he wrote specifically to get him into the speaking market for a period of time.
Wow.
And the title and the tagline, you know, Lynchpin, Are You Indispensable?, were written when you compare to all his others, which were probably, you know, The Purple Cow was a more influential book. You know, The Dip was probably a more influential book. And Message, but Lynchpin was written for him to get into speaking. And this idea of Are You Indispensable, that cuts across so many of those category topics that we looked at earlier. You know, are you indispensable in leadership? Are you indispensable in team building, engagement? All of those, are you indispensable? it cuts across all of those. You know, this again, it's not for that public speaking market over there. So the idea is you're going to take a topic, and I'm going to talk about change, and really the key word, now change, the catchword is disruption. You know, disruption is just change. So I'm going to speak in the disruption market, and I'm going to speak, my 10,000 hours is change and discipline. So I'll be tailoring my message through that. Haven't done it yet, but that's where I'm going. So that you use this formula that you're going to write a book on. So you've got to write a book, but this is going to be your PhD research over the next couple of years, or, 18 months or so, 12 months, however long it takes you to write. You're going to take an old book, your version 1.0. You're going to be a classic book out there, and you're going to honor this book. And it might not be, it might be a number of books, but you're going to honor this book. And then you're going to take a book that was written more recently, and say in the last 3 to 5 years. And you're going to take it on, you're going to challenge an idea that they have in this book. And your book is going to come along, and this is your spin. You're going to say, I've challenged this idea. This is a new take I've got on it. And you're going to own this space the next couple of years. So to give you an example, it basically goes that the old book is good and that more recent book was great, but your take on this now is significant for the current events that are going on, the zeitgeist that's going on out there in the corporate world at the moment. So to give you some examples, and I've stolen these from the course I was on, for full disclosure here.
Oh, look at this.
I don't even know this book down the bottom, but it'll give you the idea that this was an old book down the bottom that everyone said, this was the foundational book, and then the War of Art. Now, we should all chose this example because it's a book that, we should know in Showbiz Blueprint. There it is. Yeah.
Never more than an arm's distance away.
Yeah. It was written, so these are all about work and productivity. So, the War of Art came along and was all about working obsessively and making it perfect and fighting that resistance. And then Tim Ferriss came along and wrote this book that said, work is rubbish. Don't buy into it. So again, he challenged it, came in with his own slant. That was the evolution. So it was this old idea, a more recent idea, and this new idea on top of it. Another example is this, this management. It was, old management principles. And then they said, well, management is really leadership, because, the new thought. But now there's this idea out there that, it's not about leadership, it's about this followership. You find out what your people are doing, what they think, and you let them lead the direction of the company. Whether that's right or wrong, it doesn't matter. That's just, your argument you're going to put out there and the spin you're going to put on it. So again, it's going, the old book was great, good, then there's this great idea, and now this is significant. This is what people are talking about now. And so there's this book evolution. So really you have to be current. So you have to listen and you have to get out there and research and get in on the arguments and that zeitgeist. What's significant at the moment? Because that's what people are going to want to hear when you speak. Now, getting back to that idea of, I'm more nuanced person with more ideas and about just choosing one topic and going with it. It's going to be the hit single at the moment, but you're going to have another hit single later on. You're going to write a new book every 18 months or so. And there's a reason for this is, I tell you, in Australia, is that the market will be saturated after you've done 100 talks. The market's not big enough here. Now in America, that's probably going to be 500 or something like that. But you need to develop your new ideas. So and you've got to get that, you've got to start getting that up and going while you're out there speaking on your new topic. You've got to have this new idea that you're working up, because in 18 months' time, you're going to need to start to push a new topic if you want to, do this as an ongoing process. Now, when you write these books, don't confuse this with, Barry, you're a great example. I mean, with your sugar book, you put it out there and you've used it in a different way. You went the Amazon bestseller route and you used credibility because you're building that for an online platform.
Yeah, it's a front end for a back end product. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a different, it was being used in a different way. So, in Barry's example, and these figures aren't right, but, you know, it was out there for a big market. And from that, he was going to, you know, use that as a funnel to get these people into his online, you know, sugar course. When you're writing the book for the speaking that I'm talking about here, you're writing it for these 150 influencers that you're trying to target, specifically for them. So in a sense, you don't even have to publish the book mainstream. Wow. You will, but you're not thinking about it that way. You're not thinking about, is this going to be an Amazon bestseller? There's a real reality that hardly anyone is ever going to read your book. It's sort of this glorified business card, but it's on steroids, and I'll explain how that's going to work. Look at this book here. Here's a wonderful book, right?
I know that guy.
So
that's shocking to see, but yeah.
Yeah. So if you wrote a book and so the title was going to be your keynote. Strike, how to bowl over your customers with great public service. So you can imagine that being on, you know, Barry Friedman's going to come along and talk at the conference, and he's this, you know, bowling expert out there, but he's also saw this customer service expert out there. You write the book, and again, maybe no one's going to read this book, but alongside the book, you're also going to have a brochure, and just, you know, like a glossy letter-sized brochure that goes out, you know, when you send out, you know, your marketing kit. And you're also going to have a website. And those three things are almost going to be exactly the same. So there's a real consistency between your message. It doesn't matter where they go, they get this consistent message. In 18 months' time, that message might be completely different. Just a different spin, you come out and you're continually just delivering this message out there. But there's a reason for that. You're going to use your book strategically. Let's say 1,000, roughly 1,000. You're going to give those away. You're not selling, you're just giving them away. So you might be speaking at a conference and you say to, you know, anyone who wants this book, come and grab a copy. Or, you know, as you're in the lobby, you're giving copies away to people you think might be, you know, you're going to get a lead from them. And then you, every time on your, you know, someone says, we want to make an inquiry about you coming speaking at our event, you send them a book, and you send them a book with your brochure. And then if someone books you, you give away that book to the person who books you as a thank you, and have a look, you know, this is what I'm going to be talking on, you know, get ahead of it. So you're probably going to spend about $15,000 to print the books, you know, and that's going to vary, you know, it's just roughly you might, it's what's going to print, you know, for that 18 months, you know, this is going to be your pitch. But you're aiming for some fairly good return on that. This is how the book's used, and this is why you have to be consistent between a book and a brochure and a website, because it's the same as in this, the entertaining world. The people booking you are not the decision makers, in a sense, who are doing the process. And so the assistant in the office whose job it is being to find a speaker for the gig is really worried for all her concerns. You know, is she going to lose her job if she's, you know, booked the wrong person? All the same concerns that Barry has outlined to you in Showbiz Blueprint, just in the speaking world. So when they make a booking, you pop this and you say, oh, yeah, hey, we popped this material into you. It'll be in your inbox in a couple of days. And they get out this book and a brochure and they look through it and they go, oh, yeah, this guy seems to know what he's talking about. And so she takes that, or he takes that to the boss, and the boss has a look at it and she goes, yeah, this is really good. The boss makes the decision. This is risk mitigation. This is why there's this consistency. So when they kind of go and look at your website, it's targeted for the same message. That's the purpose of the book. You're not writing this book to sell the book. So this is the Showbiz Blueprint advantage number two, is that when you build a speaking business or career out there, and you're just one person on stage and you're speaking to that audience and you're going to get more bookings through that audience, is that then you can offer them the back end on this. So you might build out, coaching. You might have a training program that goes in. You might do, you know, one-on-one mentoring, which is, you know, fair, you know, you charge a fair bit of money for that. Is that those people in the room, again, these experts I was sitting with, the PhD, the futurists, the strategic relationship people, they know nothing about this. This is what you guys are working on now. These are all these back-end systems of autoresponders, all this, you know, podcasts. All, you guys are so far ahead. All these people, it's like speaking a different language to them. And so to be able to build a speaking career out of this in your situation is viable. Right? That's what I wanted to share with you. So here we go. I'm just going to refresh these key takeaways. That experts are not your competition out there, everyone. It's not. It's your mindset. And it's what was holding me back for the last 18 months. It's not art. It's really not. They care about you and how wonderful you are. Just choose the one message and get out there. And again, you don't have to be original with this. You don't have to have a wonderful earth-shaking idea. You just need to curate information out there. Tap into the zeitgeist. All you need to do to be confident to speak and not have this imposter syndrome is to speak through your 10,000 hours, whatever that is, and you know what that is. Established speakers are exactly the same as our audience here. I can't tell you how shocked I am every time I go into this group and I go, it's the same.
Same as there, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a long game. This is not something you're going to do in 3 months. This is the long game. It suits me. I'm always a long game player. And again, just remember this idea of keynotes equals book titles. This is a strategic approach, but remember, it's just one approach. It's not to say that you can't build a speaking career another way. This is an approach that I know that, you know, for me, is I think is going to work, and it's the one that I'm going to apply. So there you go. I hope you benefit out of me sharing that with you.
God, let me unmute everybody. Man, that was so good. Yeah, exactly. Like a clap for that. Hey, can you go back to slide 44 for a second? You had talked about a new book every 18 months. Is that on the same topic, or are you thinking you work under your next one?
No, it's changed. Can I'll share the screen.
Sure, come back in.
Hang on. Share screen. Let me choose this. Here we go. Tell me when you see this.
Yep.
Okay, this is this guy whose course I went to. His name is Matt Church. This is his website, and we're now on his conference speaking tab. If you're starting out, you actually want to have a site that is purely for your speaking, which is basically a mirror of the book and the brochure. But because he's more advanced and he actually runs these business schools and public courses, it all reinforces his message when people go and have a look. So slightly different. But let's just look in his speaking tab here, because I'm going to answer this question you asked just, Barry. Right. So these are his topics that he speaks on. So one topic he speaks on is being this thought leader, you know, helping clever people be commercially smart. Mm. He rarely gets booked for this, but just have a look. This, what you're looking at here now, this is the book that's been printed. This is all his, basically his intellectual property and the way he sells it. What you're looking at on his website is exactly what would be in the brochure,
yeah,
that goes to the people, the brochure, and would be exactly the same as his book. This is all synergistic. It's all exactly the same. So this is what he did for a number of years and he spoke on. But then he went on and a couple of years later wrote this book, Amplifiers.
Gotcha.
And this is the cover. Again, what you're looking at here is exactly on the brochure, the marketing material.
Hey, your way is better. I'm sorry.
Yeah. This is all exactly the same. Gotcha. Now, this is what he's been speaking on for the last 3 years or so, made a mozzer of money out of this. And at the moment, he's working on this next, which is thriving in the decade of disruption, which is great, which is what changed, which I want to speak on. See this book here, next? not actually written yet.
Not
but he's yet. Out there marketing. He's got all the marketing materials, the book. It's all like the book has been written, but he's not worried about it because he's worked on the intellectual property to go with this, but he's pre-selling all his next 2 years worth of speaking. And when he gets this up and going, he'll have the next one. So this is, you just keep, you know, every couple of years, you are putting out a new topic. And that's your area that he owns. And he's starting to own, in Australia, speaking on disruption and how that affects your industry.
Man.
Does that make sense?
Beautiful, Julian. What a layout. And what, you know, what a realistic wheels on rubber on the ground approach to this, as opposed to, you know, your great things, that slide where you had on the topic on the right that was, sure, you know, you could speak on those things, and it's not that we're questioning your worthiness or the worthiness of those. Great, wonderful, but for commercial success.
Yeah, and this is it. This, and I've been battling with that. Honestly, for 18 months, I've had all these pieces on the table, and you would have seen, you know, a little bit, tailor-made career, you know, Footpath University, all these things. And I'm
Boomer
still
past. Got yeah,
Footpath University, this helping over 50s deal with change. I'm still going to do that, but I'm going to do that in the background. And in a sense, it's going to, you know, the two of them will sort of talk, but I'm going to make a very clear distinction on my push of speaking within the corporate world. And if people want to find out more about me, that more nuanced individual that I am, then they can find out all this stuff that I'm working on in the background. But I'm going to keep it separate. And that was part of my, I was trying to tie all this together. You know, what's the thread that ties all this together? And honestly, it was killing me. It was freaking killing me.
Hey, can I jump in with a question?
Yeah, guys, please.
This is Dano. I'm not on camera, but can you hear me?
Hey, yeah, you're very classy with your pipe and your still phone. Probably better than if you're live.
Julian, thank you. Wonderful information. I can tell you put a lot of work into putting this together for us. I have a question, though. I love what you were saying about the fact that they don't want an expert so much as they want an entertainer. Mm. But to get your foot in the door, surely there has to be a certain amount of expertise presented. So once you're on stage, I'm with you 100%. Get the laughs and the shiny lights and all that. But do you have any thoughts on that initial?
Yeah, I do. It's going to be hard, but no harder I can see than any other thing that I've done before. It's about approaching it the right way. So right at this stage, I'm in now booking in free speeches with Rotary Clubs, with Probus Groups, and going out and starting to develop my talk and make the connections with them and be very strategic about building my list of 150 people. When I went to these two courses, when I went to the course in Philadelphia with Michael Port, he's now one of my 150 key influences. I went to the course with Matt Church. He's now one of my 150 key influences. Mm-hmm. And then I just have to slowly build this, but it's going to be no different to me 8 years ago when I was, I was in television. I was not an entertainer, and I left my TV career, and I had to start from ground zero. And I just knew I had to go out there and do one terrible show and get one half decent testimonial. And then those two that testimonial became two, which became three, which became five, which became seven. It's the same process. It's going to be no different. But in the long game, I understand now that I can leverage all of my previous experiences, all of my 10,000 hours, and leverage that into an area that pays a heck of a lot more money than kids entertaining. Mm-hmm. And it's even corporate and entertaining. The figures they were giving down there, and again, this is Australian figures, they said roughly any person who speaks at a conference and gets paid, just to say, if you got paid $5,000 as a speaker, they were paying the comedian $1,800.
Yeah.
You can work, you're probably just on the starting gate, going to be earning probably three times what the entertainer was earning as being a speaker.
So it sounds to me, Julian, like you're saying you don't have to be an expert, but you are turning yourself into an expert.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. And because Dan, I'm not an expert. I'm not, and the, believe me, I've angsted over this of going, how can I go into a corporate, how can I go into a room full of, you know, 200, 500 people from this industry, these experts, you know, these doctors or these accountants, and speak to them about something in their industry. I'm speaking to them about current thought out there that will affect their industry. Yeah. And I've invested, you know, maybe, you know, 18 months of research into this, and I've written a book about it. I can speak to you now with authority about what people are thinking about your industry. No, I'm not speaking from inside your industry. Yeah. I'm speaking about all these forces that are out there. And the thing is, I've been working on, you know, researching change now, you know, probably seriously for the last 6 months. Oh, I know a heck of a lot more about change. I know a heck of a lot more, you know, what the current thinking is out there, the research that's gone into it, you know, who's doing it. Yeah. And you just know more than anyone in the room, because here's the thing, Dano, those people in the room aren't thinking about this. They aren't thinking about these topics, you know, just a fleeting, you know, thought now and then. But if you put 6 months worth of effort in just to get started, you know a heck of a lot more about them than they do.
Well, and that actually really helps me with the mindset, because I would say that any of us here are certainly experts on stage. You know, we can command the stage. We can handle the audience. And, you know, if it's a group of accountants, I experience that same kind of seize up of the brain. I can't talk to these people about accounting. But when you're talking about, you know, something general, more general, I guess, that
can I share something with
or doctors or to whoever the audience.
Can I share something with you? I'm just being rude and jumping in over the top of you, but I want to say it before I forget it. And this is, look, I mean, I'm happy to share this with you. For a lot of my life, have shrunk personally in the presence of alpha males. You know, I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm very much an introvert, and the whole way through school, you know, all the, you know, the big football stars and the big geniuses and all those people went into the world of finance. I just didn't think I was good enough. I really did, and I carried that with me, and bit by bit, been chipping away at that throughout my life. You know, we've all got some rubbish like that that we have to deal with.
Definitely.
I now, honestly, I've transformed from being what I've just said to you to now feeling confidently that I can earn within a couple of years a few $100,000 a year speaking on stage. Oh. I am absolutely in my mind know that I can do that now. Mm. So if that helps you, because I think a lot of us in that come from that same space. It's just this process of going through, and again, I thought it was because I didn't have the background or wasn't the knowledge. It was none of that. This is what has been holding me back, and I've only just come to realize that. And also understand that I'm a very nuts and bolts person. I'm not, you know, like you listen to Barry. Barry's 70% woo woo. I'm about 20%. I'm a, you know, I don't buy into thinking stuff. But I've looked at the science of the brain, and I've just said, this is the problem. It really has been. And I've really flipped, and I'm ready to go for this. So I just wanted to share that with you. So if you think you're in that same space, yeah, it's there for you as well.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Thanks, man.
Wow, Julian. You know, and I wanted just to share something while I'm on this. I wanted to come back to this screen for a second. I have no reason, and this points to exactly what Dana was asking. I don't know that Matt Church is the guy to talk about what's next. But I imagine all of this, he's curated and drawn his own conclusions from and made his own sound bites. Same thing with you know, his amplifiers.
Yeah. He came up, he studied physical, what do you call it? Performance science or something, but really didn't, but that manifested itself with him being you know, doing what do you call aerobic classes, you know, like Richard Simmons, you know, that sort of thing.
He put in the time, though, studying thought leaders and curating what was out there and doing your great example, which was on this note, you know, the good book, the old one, what was great, what's significant now? And he challenged, and that's a...
And so, and to, just to give you an idea of what where I'm going to come in on this, so my 10,000 hours is change and discipline, and there's a mix in there that I've got to find out, you know, exactly which way I'm going to go. But my challenge with discipline is that, you know, so many people you listen to say it's all about getting the motivation. If only I could get motivated, if only I could find that energy to get up and going. But through all these people I've met in my life, my own experience, motivation never comes first. Discipline comes first. Once you start taking the steps and you start seeing some results, then you start to get the motivation, because you're seeing some of the results, but it's always taking the steps first. And all motivation is just an anesthetic for hard work, but people have got it in the wrong order. And just from that simple little challenge to a lot of conventional thinking out of there, I'm going to do the research and get the knowledge behind me and then put a presentation together. And here's something else I must say as well. In the last 18 months, I basically haven't performed for 18 months, and I just cut off and said, I don't want anything else to do with magic. It's done. It's served my purpose well. I was going into this area where I thought I had to, you know, get into the headspace of where all these experts are. One thing that Michael Port and Matt Church said to me, you are crazy if you don't use magic.
I know.
Your presentation up there. Yeah. He said that's what they want to see. They want to see magic show. But if they hear that you're a magician and you don't do magic, there's such a selling point. Oh, here's the expert on, you know, change and disruption through, you know, a bit of magic. I can't even think of how to say it. But, you know, he said, you've got to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. When I started talking about sugar, I had a real dream of doing this without juggling. And I was yelled at by a very expensive coach. No, man, don't even think about it. You know, find a way to do it. So, yeah.
And Eric, when you got into your sugar-free stuff, the feeling that who are you to be talking about medical conditions and all that?
Oh, my gosh, Dano. Yeah, I mean, I got a where's my diploma? Over here. Here, I had to make this. I had to hey, this is the 70% woo-woo that Julian spoke so fondly of. I could not function until I had one of these on the wall. This was my university of life. Everything he needs to be successful while speaking about sugar. I mean, this was, I had to have something in front of me, man. I literally, imposter syndrome. Yeah.
It's like the Wizard of Oz. You need to have your diploma.
I needed to have it. Now it's hanging on my door. I see it every time I'm leaving. I'm like, all right, I'm qualified to do this. and big outing of myself. I had one of these for Showbiz Blueprint too when this all started. So,
oh my.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of that stuff going on.
Question for you guys. Can you guys hear me, by the way?
Yeah. 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 Hi.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm in the middle of sort of getting on to become a keynote speaker as well, but I'm having big challenges with finding my message. So, Julian and whoever's like doing keynote speaking, like, can you share like how you sort of find out what message you want to speak about?
What's that slide Tracy has to go back to? I don't think she was here at the beginning, but you had the whole right side column.
Oh, really? Okay.
You'll catch
jumping late. Sorry, guys.
No.
Maybe I can rephrase the question. I mean, how did you find your angle? Your angle is basically change and discipline. How did you find this angle?
Okay. Easy.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Easy. I just chose it. I looked at everything and I went, I'll do that, because that's as good as anything to get out there and start speaking on. Because I've got all these other things I could have been wrestling. And I've just been paralyzed for 18 months trying to work it out. So when I went down to this court last week, this Matt Church, he's the only person I've seen who can do this. He gave, you know, listened to a bit of your background and your story and, you know, where you thought you were going. And then on the second day, you got to sit on a chair side by side with him on a stool. And he said, we're now going to find your angle. So let's just go over your story again. Where do you think this is going? And within about 5 minutes, he just interrupted. He said, no, this is what you're going to do. You're going to write a book. It's called Shift. Right, bang, Shift. A Disciplined Approach to Disruption. And then he just went and I've got a recording of it. He just basically went, this is where you're going to go in. You're going to say this. You're going to say this is how it affects, industries and blah, blah, blah. He said, go and work with that. It's as good as anything. Oh. And I just went, oh, thank you. Yeah. And that's what, it's as good as anything. This is not rocket science. He made a very good point. He said, this is really creating make-believe up there. You're just going up there and you've said, again, for 45 to 60 minutes at a conference, you are not going into these industries to change things. You're just speaking at a conference in an entertaining way. Make it good enough. Make it relevant. Make it significant. Have it, a depth of knowledge about it. It only has to be good enough.
That was a shocking slide.
Classic 80-20. It's the classic 80-20. And even though everything else I do is 20% is good enough and 80% will follow, I'd have, in this last 18 months, I've been working on 20-80. I've just reversed it. I was trying to start at 80%. Now I know that was wrong.
Wow. That was a great slide you had early on, Julian, when you said, what they want, and that's been verified by the ports, big dollar trainers, Matt Church, hugely successful trainer, entertain first, impact second.
I got another word for that. I'll tell you what it is.
Steve.
It's in action versus inspired. So really, rather than inspiring, you have to actually forget that, because I've got that back to front. There's my note here. Okay, just ignore that last bit. I hope this helps clear. Again, this is more mindset rather than strategy. Just to let you know, I'm signing up to a thought leaders business school that they have, which is, got a curriculum and a lot of accountability to it. And so the speaking is going to go alongside of this. And I'm happy to pass on anything that I learn from this, because, there's a lot of great information out there, a lot of great mentors.
Jeez, man. Yeah. And what I love is you've played in this field. You got to the point where you felt stuck. We can call it luck, but I say the more prepared you are, the luckier you get. You got invited to go to an event to be on a big podcast with Michael Port, be at his event. He turned you on to Matt Church. You followed all these things. And then kind of out of the goodness of your heart, maybe you learned something more by teaching it. You said, let me talk about this here. And dang, man, I just can't thank you enough.
Yeah,
huge,
wonderful.
Huge giveaway.
Happy to.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for turning it up.
Great. And I'm sure everyone will eat up the replay of this. And man, thank you so much. And this is the kind of thing that I had tossed out on the group to have master classes once in a while. This is don't be intimidated by Julian's mega high bar. It's awesome. It's great content, good presentation. But anything people have that they want to share that they think could benefit everybody. I mean, this is so spot on, and I mean, what a gift. And another topic may be that valuable to all of us as well. But if there's something out there, don't be shy. Speak up. Let's do some more of these. Let's do these monthly. They're just, it's incredible.
Yeah, this is real nice. The format.
Yeah, and I just point to the value of this group is that we can share this stuff in here. We can drop all the armor and all the facade that we all walk around with out there and just be open and honest about this stuff in here. Because it benefits us all.
And Julian, if you can share with us also as you develop your speaking career, because you said right now you're just at the start of it. And, I'm anxious to see, you know, with this this plan that you have and how enthusiastic you are about it, I'm anxious to see, to watch it take off. So, you know, keep us posted on the Facebook group.
Yeah, sure, definitely. I'll let you know my highs and lows.
Good, Deano. Were you saying something for Deano?
Lost it in the cross chatter.
Nah, no problem. Good man. We'll trust it was covered. Hey, Julian, thank you, man, so much. Anyone else have anything I want to add in, or
just a big fat thank you?
Yeah, cool, Joe. Yeah, yeah,
thank you.
Thanks, guys. I look forward to watching the replay.
Yeah. Me too. I'm gonna watch the replay too.
Tracy, I'm thinking your talk should probably be about safety, you know, not driving and no, I'm kidding, you're not driving.
Yeah. Hey Barry, I'll send you the slide, the keynote slides, and if you want to make those as a download or something.
Awesome, man. I'll put a page on Showbiz Blueprint and we'll create a new section of masterclasses and we'll just keep adding to them, man. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Ah, this is great. Yes. Thank you so much, Julian. You. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, guys. Hey.
I know. Look at that. That's Aslan. I know her. You know. All right. See you guys.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Yeah. Bye.